Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You know, right now, when I'm looking at sources of information, if I come across the name Sarah Westwood from the Washington Examiner, I stop and read it because I find her reporting to be really, really solid on all the stuff that's going on with regard to emails, etc. And, you know, there have been a whole bunch of emails and documents that have been dumped into the hopper. Some have come from WikiLeaks. Some are being released by the State Department. Every day, it seems, we got a whole bunch of more documents. It's hard to keep up with everything that's been dropped into the hopper, but that's why we have Sarah Westwood on the job with us today to help us understand it. She's actually written an article, 14 Things We Learned from WikiLeaks' New Clinton-Related Emails, and that's a good place to start. Good morning, Sarah Westwood.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. It's good to have you. Okay. So, look, I mean, it is almost hard to keep up with all of the stuff that is floating around, what with, you know, our government slowly, painstakingly releasing documents, WikiLeaks, Guccifer 2's out there. We got all this stuff going on. So what did you find as you went through all of these emails that were dropped into the hopper by WikiLeaks the other day?
Well, from the emails that were released yesterday, I think one of the most striking things that we learned was that the Clinton campaign tried repeatedly to distract the media from the emails. And one of the tactics that they used was trying to use Benghazi as a distraction tactic. The Benghazi fight was one they thought they could win, and they knew that they couldn't win on emails. So they tried to get the press to focus on Benghazi, and they tried to have Hillary Clinton's responses focus on Benghazi, and by doing that, she avoided having to talk about the emails while giving the appearance of transparency. And that seemed to be a fairly effective tactic. If you remember, anytime she was asked about the emails after the fall, she just pointed to her 11-hour testimony before the Benghazi committee and said, you know, I've answered all these questions, even though that Benghazi testimony was totally unrelated to her email.
Yeah, you said that was what came out yesterday, but I mean, there were like 2,000 and plus emails that came out on Monday as well, right?
Right, on Friday. And those were particularly enlightening because they contained transcripts of the paid speeches that she gave to special interest groups. And it showed her doublespeak on a variety of issues from the Keystone Pipeline to trade. She's advocating for open borders. She's telling big banks that politicians need to have a public position and a private position. It really undercuts a lot of the core messages of her campaigns.
One of the interesting things that I read had to do with what Hillary Clinton was saying privately about Syrian refugees, specifically that they couldn't possibly be vetted and they know that the ISIS terror network is trying to infiltrate the refugees. What are the details there and what was the context of those comments?
Well, Hillary Clinton was speaking to a luncheon sponsored by a Jewish group in Chicago, and she basically said that, you know, there was no way for the Jordanians to vet the number of refugees flowing in from Syria. So there was no way to know if there were jihadists hiding among the, quote, legitimate refugees. That's the same fears that the U.S. is facing right now. The Republicans have pointed out that at the rate that Hillary Clinton has proposed, 65,000 Syrian refugees, there's really no way for the Department of Homeland Security to apply adequate vetting measures to that volume of people. And Hillary Clinton's core argument is that, of course, we can vet that many people. Right. And her plan is airtight because, you know, we're just not going to let the terrorists in. It's that simple. But it's clear that she understands, at least privately, that that is sort of an impossible undertaking.
There was also, I mean, some of this is, you know, not necessarily directed at Hillary Clinton, but it's just sort of good and gossipy. One of them that you have written about was an email that dealt with Chelsea Clinton, of all people, and somebody who called her a spoiled brat. What's the background on that?
So Chelsea Clinton was called a spoiled brat by one of Bill Clinton's longest and closest aides. Doug Band was Bill Clinton's body man for years. Mm-hmm. He helped found the Clinton Foundation. Then he went on to start a consulting firm. Chelsea Clinton was complaining to her father that this consulting firm that Doug Band was running was calling clients and calling members of the British Parliament on behalf of Bill Clinton without Bill Clinton knowing about it, basically using his name to make money. And this really angered Doug Band because he thought that Chelsea Clinton was trying to ruin his company. So he called her a spoiled brat. He said that she's just doing this because she has nothing else going on in her life. And it was striking to see someone who's so close to Bill Clinton just trash the former first daughter like that.
Has there been any suggestion from the Clinton campaign that these emails are in some way not legitimate, that they're fraudulent, that their WikiLeaks has just, you know, made these up and they're not real? Have they confirmed them? What have they said?
John Podesta on Sunday tried to imply that these emails were not legitimate, but during the debate on Sunday night, Hillary Clinton basically confirmed the legitimacy of these emails by saying that, you know, she justified one of the paid speeches by that she was asked about mm-hmm. by saying that when she was talking about needing a public and private position, she was really just referring anecdotally to Abe Lincoln. That's obviously not the case. If you read the transcript, it's a verbatim copy of what she said. But by disputing specific aspects of those emails, she's basically confirming that they were real.
Yeah, and a lot of things that came out in the, especially in the John Podesta emails, have to do with the statements that she has made in these speeches. For example, saying that she's in favor of open borders when she says she is not on the campaign trail. It would seem to me that in any other election cycle, when things weren't so dramatic in other arenas, that would have been a huge, huge story.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the key reasons she survived that very tough primary with Bernie Sanders is because she came out against TPP and because she came out against the Keystone Pipeline. And that's one of her core defenses against Donald Trump, who's built this populist appeal based in part on his opposition to these big trade deals. I mean, that's one of the two big planks of his campaign along with immigration. So that erodes one of Hillary Clinton's professed justifications for her candidacy, and that should be a big deal. Luckily for her, that lewd tape of Donald Trump dropped within about an hour wow. of the first set of WikiLeaks emails.
That is remarkable timing,
Sarah coincidence
Westwood?
That is, yeah.
Our guest is Sarah Westwood, investigative reporter, Washington Examiner. We just got a minute left. I'd love to turn the focus, as I often like to do, on the media. These emails really show a remarkable relationship yeah. between the Clinton campaign and members of the media. What did you discover there? And most specific, I mean, the stuff with John Harwood, the guy from CNBC who ended up being a atrocious moderator for a Republican debate. I mean, it looks like they're, you know, they're long lost brother and sister, these two. What did you see there?
Well, we saw, again, John Harwood was one of several journalists who was found to be basically working with the Clinton campaign in effect to produce favorable coverage. We saw an MSNBC producer also just fawning over Hillary Clinton. We saw a New York Times reporter working very closely with the Clinton campaign. And this is something that we obviously suspect, right? We see the favorable coverage that comes from some of these journalists, and you suspect that potentially, you know, there's something else going on there when some of the unflattering aspects of her candidacy are papered over. But when you see the way that they're almost colluding behind the scenes, it's a little troubling that the gatekeepers at some of the biggest media outlets in the country would work so hand in glove with a candidate like that.
All right, Sarah Westwood, investigative reporter for the Washington Examiner. Stay on the job. I know there'll be some more stuff coming.
Thank you.
All right.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.